All right, so hello and welcome, and thanks for coming to the Advanced Business Show. In this episode, we are going to talk about project management for a better way of doing work inside your organization, your startup, or anywhere else. So in this episode, I have the pleasure to host Judy with us, Judy Hetzel. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. She will be with us in this episode, and she will walk us, based on her experience, about the project management and how it can help you with your work, and also how you can get a much higher results with a much lower effort than just doing any kind of work. So welcome, Judy, to this show. I thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So, Judy, can you please tell us about yourself, your background, and so on?
Yeah, it's a long story. I'll try to make it short. So I have spent 20 years in corporate learning and development, mainly in with high-tech companies. And I usually concentrated on managing processes, projects, and programs. I started out at EDS in Dallas many years ago. If anybody remembers that company, it was Ross Perot's company in Dallas, Texas, right after college. And I learned Microsoft Project. And I worked in their employee development, their training department, which was huge at the time and really innovative. And I learned Microsoft Project, and then I ended up teaching it there officially for a few years. And I don't even know if they had certifications back then, like in project management. I think they did, but you know, none of us had it. So from then on, I was there for 7 years, and then I moved on to several other companies. And everywhere I worked, I brought new tools and technology to the company that I worked. And one company that I worked for in San Francisco, I was the director of the experience group there. And so I managed all of the designers and all the creative people. And the project management team was kind of set next to me. And they saw that I was really good at managing and project managing. And so I ended up teaching all of the project managers, even though that wasn't my job, to do their jobs. So it was kind of funny. Everywhere I go, I feel like I'm always that person. And the last corporate job I had was at SAP, and I worked there for 7 years, where I was managing learning programs, and I was responsible for all of the processes and tools for learning development projects globally at SAP. And we used a lot of really innovative tools there. We would always try to bring tools. We had a really creative, innovative team there. And we were responsible for content creation, for learning content creation. And I left SAP early last year to start my own business. And a little aside before I talk about that, I got three certifications in mind body work at the same time. So I was doing that on the side. I was doing mind body work on the side. And when I quit my job at SAP, I ended up writing a book called Come Alive, Find Your Passion, Change Your Life, Change the World. And at that time, I was coaching undervalued professional women to find and live their passion. I used a very innovative methodology that I learned in my mind-body work, and it was very successful. And when I was out speaking, I kept getting approached by men and entrepreneurs, which was not my target market, you know, at the time. And I thought, maybe I need to shift, because those were the people that were drawn to me in my work. And then the pandemic happened, and I decided to pivot my business. And I wrote a new book, which is out for pre-order right now, but it should be done in the next, I think, month. And it's called Under Pressure, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Handling Stress, So You Are Free to Lead. So with that business, Under Pressure, I help entrepreneurs handle stress through mind-body practices, as well as looking at how they manage their work, how they manage themselves, how they manage their processes, what tools and technology they're using for process management, project management. Entrepreneurs especially they have a tendency to want to do everything or think they need to do everything or be involved in every single decision in the company, and they don't need to, especially if they have a staff. So we help with trying to figure out where they need to spend their time, like spending their time in what I call their zone of genius, which is, you know, what they're really good at and what they're really passionate about. And you know, what they're inside their business, and delegating other things, and also figuring out what tools they should be using, because usually they're not using any tools, or they're using old fashioned tools because they're so busy. It's like they're stuck down in it, just going round and round and not taking a step back and just going, okay, let's just figure this out. Let's figure out what's the best, the most efficient way to do your work and stay in your zone of genius, figure out what to delegate, figure out what tools to use. And so that's it in a nutshell.
Okay, sounds wonderful. So you have a really deep knowledge, and you have some hands-on practice with the project management in different areas, in different departments, and in different environments. Different
industries, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, we hopefully that we can give some of this experience to our listeners as well. And also, as you earlier said, that you bring some really nice tools and so on. Hopefully, we can show some to our listeners as well.
Great.
Okay. So, Judy, there are many businesses out there currently that maybe just starting, or they've been like in work for a few years. And they just say that they have their internal processes. They just go and do the work with no planning, without any, let's say, looking to consideration of things. They just maybe, let's say, we have an e-commerce site. They just take the orders and ship it over to the customers without actually looking at these process, different process parts inside their business. Are we actually shipping them on time? Are we actually wasting resources or not? So, Judy, based on your experience, why someone shall have, let's say, project management tools using them inside their organization? Why is not just go the old-fashioned way, as we earlier said, just ship the products, do the work, and do not do any kind of review of your process?
Okay, so that doesn't work anymore. And that's kind of like the old way of doing things. You know, similar to like the waterfall approach of project management. And most companies have shifted toward the agile project management, which originated, I believe, in the software industry, because it really helped do something quick, you know, do a MVP, minimal viable product, get it in front of your customers, you know, see if you're going on the right track, you know, and then they look at it and go, okay. And then you keep going and keep creating it until, you know, it's what they want. And it's a very quick way to develop. Now, agile doesn't work necessarily for every kind of, you know, process or project, but it works for most if you really look at it. It really does work. And to me, in this day and age, things are changing so rapidly in our world, from not only from, you know, year to year, month to month, week to week, day to day, you know, and especially now in this current environment that we're in, with the pandemic and things having to change drastically all at once. So you have to be very adaptable in how you manage your work, and you have to be adaptable in your process, in your hiring practices, in you know, really figuring out how you're going to survive in these current times. You know, how do you need to adjust so that you are able to not only survive but possibly thrive during this time?
Okay, so we talked that there are, first thing first, we talked about the agile. Can you talk us a little bit more about an agile way of doing things, and also give the listeners an example for a real life example of agile process. So please go, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, so it's probably best to just go with the example, and it'll explain the process. So for example, at SAP, I'm hoping that I can talk about this, we were developing a product that helped people actually create learning projects and go through and create it. And it was a tool that asked questions and took you through a process. And so what we did was we went out, and then we did the traditional analysis where we got, the information we needed. And then we got subject matter experts that were experts in the process, and they helped us all along the way. And we would create little mini versions of the product, if you will, and would constantly run it by them and get changes and keep doing it. And then we would go to other levels of stakeholders, if you will, after that, and then we would get their buy-in. But usually it was always the subject matter experts where we would just do an MVP and then get their opinion and then keep going until we were done, and we would do testing. So it's taking that original project management process and just, kind of squanching it down and making it iterative, making really basically maybe the design, development, and delivery kind of iterative in the middle. And then the analysis is kind of on its own. To me, in my way of doing it, I always customize every process, and doing that design development and testing, I should say, is iterative. And then your delivery or implementation is outside of that. So it's almost like a little, like a little swoop, where there's this and then a circle and then it kind of goes out like that. But this part is constantly iterative.
Okay.
I hope that explained it well enough.
Yeah, well, it explains it well for me. I guarantee that to you. Now, for my listeners, so when we talk about agile, we are talking about creating, as Elie Judy said, small versions or small releasable increments of our work. So our customer get this small increment. If he likes it, we done it well. If he does not like it, we did not actually lose too much time doing the work. We just maybe lost a week or two in this sprint.
Okay. Right. And in the sprint, and it's almost just like, just showing out, showing what you do with a prototype or whatever and saying, hey, are we on the right track? Is this what you were thinking? Instead of spending months, developing something and then they go, I hate purple, or I hate, this or whatever. And then you have to go back and redo everything. You're constantly getting feedback from your customer or your subject matter experts. For me, it was subject matter experts because I was doing internal projects. But if you're doing customer projects, it's always, I like to say, three people with the customer. At least three people are looking at it, your MVP or your first product. So you're not just getting one person's opinion, because they might, you really need at least three, in my opinion.
Yes, getting the stakeholders with you on board with the development process will actually make it shorter. Because they tell you something, but they actually want something else. Not because they are maybe distracted and so on, because their work is maybe not related to your work. For example, someone work in sales and marketing for sure will not know that much about how to develop a software. So these gaps and so on, to fill them up, let's have them on board with us doing the work. Now,
exactly.
Okay. Now, I have an example from a book that I recommend that talks about agile in non-official way or non-direct way, which is the Lean Startup. This book talks about the experience of the IMVU chat app, which is, I don't know if it's still or not, it's a popular chat app. Now, these guys, at the beginning, they spent maybe, a period of time developing a new chat plugin that you can add to your old MSN and Yahoo Messenger. And after spending a certain period of time, they just find out that, you know what, the customer, the client, the user actually don't want this. So what they did is the following. They started to create a small work item. Let's say, for example, they started creating this new app and ship it out to some customers and testers out there and take their direct feedback. After that, they take the feedback directly and implement it so they can enhance the next release. Now, if someone, let's say I'm doing a startup, maybe a software startup and so on, or any kind of startup, do not start directly with creating a product A to Z. You never know if actually somebody wants it, if it's the right product or not even. Just start with a minimum viable product that you can ship. And it can get funding, it can catch eyes, get customers and so on. And later on, increment this product and have it much bigger. So now, okay, Jude, you already talked, or you already mentioned that in some, or actually in today's world, the changes are happening very fast. And especially like with the technology, as a software developer myself, I see things change in just matter of months. Just 2 to 3 months, what you're using now is just obsolete. There's something new, right, faster and better. So exactly. Now, how you recommend adaption to change or doing a change inside an organization? For example, let's say that I'm doing this kind of work. I want to enhance my process. I don't want my maybe my sales department do the work alone. I want the sales department plus second department feedback. How can I introduce this change inside my organization and get people with me on this change? Because telling somebody what you done yesterday or like what he's been used to for maybe a year or so, and there's a new process he has to learn and so on, he for sure will not be very comfortable to do. So how we can manage a change in an organization and get people with us?
Number one, in my opinion, is you have to get their buy-in first. They have to be okay with what the change is. And it's the best way is to involve them in the decision of changing somehow. And that to me is the first thing. And like this change management plan, you know, the communication has to be effective and has to have buy-in. And you really need to ensure buy-in before you even communicate it out. And I know, for example, in my last company I worked, they decided to rebrand the company without getting any buy-in from the employees, and they released it and everybody hated it. And they went back like 2 weeks later to the old brand that had been around forever. And it was like, because they didn't get buy-in first with their main stakeholder, which was their employees. And so you have to get buy-in first for any big change, especially if it's a process. And then you need to be doing like live info sessions, what we call info sessions, or you know, or live demos and training and getting their feedback, just like you would in, you know, a regular, like you're doing the process with the process, if that makes sense, you're practicing what you're preaching. So you're going through it and you're getting their feedback. And so they're involved all the way. And then you're doing what I think live training is so important, and demonstration and live training, and then having people go out like advocates or evangelists or whatever you want to call those, ambassadors that represent the change. And then they go out, if it's a big company, there needs to be an ambassador per organization. And then they are kind of responsible for implementing it, getting any feedback. That's vital to any kind of change, in my opinion.
Okay. So we have to get people with us and make sure that this change is actually correct, not just do a change.
Right, right.
Okay. So now, Judy, I have some statistics over here that is related to project management in general. Now, this statistics talks about the amount of certification holders from the Project Management Institute. In case the person doesn't know it, it is the leading project management, let's say, foundation out there that create standards for project management, and there will no BIM book or the project project management body of knowledge.
Yeah.
These guys have these different certification that is related to project management. One of the well-known one is the project management professional, the PMP. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a test. I recommend it for everybody, but it's not easy.
it's not
easy at all, but it's something that will take your skills up to the next level, and it's a really, really nice credentials to have. So now, I have this statistics from the March 2019, and so far, there are about 1 million BMB certificate holder, plus a couple few thousands with their related project management certification, without going into each one in details. But the second one is the associate in project management with about 14,000. And also I can see that their agile version of certification is also getting attraction with about 13,000 people, which is certified. And these are last year number. So I think these numbers for sure are much higher currently. And as I see that their growth rate for the project management professional is about 10% each year. And for the agile certification, surprisingly, 50% each year, which is a rapid growth that shows around the world people are starting to go into this certification. So Judy, in your opinion, people are starting to get this certification and going into this. Are there is maybe a movement out there to formalize the way projects is going on inside the companies or not?
I think so. I mean, I can only speak from my personal experience. I mean, we didn't have certifications for project management inside the company, but we did have other certifications related to that. Excuse me. But I do think that we certified, I mean, we had specific processes that people had to follow inside the organization if they wanted to complete certain projects. They had to follow our methodology, because we created our own developmental methodology for developing training, and they had to follow that methodology for development. And so it was our own project management methodology, if you will. And then what we did was we had our development methodology, and then the project methodology kind of surrounded it with their phases. So because the developmental methodology is separate from, if you follow the PM methodology, it's separate. I prefer following the developmental methodology and just putting project management around it, because I'm so familiar with both. And sometimes the PMI, their suggested methodology, sometimes can get in the way of the developmental methodology, just in my opinion. And I really like to follow the developmental and just kind of put a layer of project management around it, if that makes sense.
Yes. This is, until now, a term maybe is familiar for the people who do in project management, which is tailoring the process. You wanna, yes. Like, and even like BMI themselves, like, okay, here's our standard, but you don't need to take everything. inside right. it, just select the parts that you find suitable and compatible with your work, and you wanna apply them. So right. if you are there trying, looking for a new way to do projects and so on, or using some new tools, you don't need to follow the book by each chapter. Just look for what, what these things that can help you. You what can take sense. A look at either the BMI BIM book, or you can also like, you can take a look at the what they call it, the Scrum, I don't know, paper, and see like how these sprints are done and so on, and this iteration and so forth. So these like two things that you can take a look at, so you can design your own process.
Yeah, the customization to me is the key for any company or any industry, just taking that as a guide and then tailoring it to your needs.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. Okay, so now, so Judy, based on your experience, how can I implement these project management tools inside my company, get people like know these methodologies, what we can do for them so they understand the tool and the process?
The easiest way is to do a lot of live trainings, like Zoom, if it's over Zoom or some other kind of virtual training, is to do those on a regular basis and to do demonstrations and to actually put it out to someone who's new, and maybe even, you know, have them share their screen and walk them through it, because it really helps to do it, and just continue to do that. So many people, they'll read something or they'll watch something, but they don't have, maybe they don't need to do it right away, and then they don't have that at the moment of need, and then they have to go back and try to search for it. So if you have some sort of knowledge base they can go to, which would be great, so they can access that at any time, at the moment of need, or job aids, or little micro learnings, if they have those, where you can actually host those somewhere. Especially the micro learnings for very specific tasks, like maybe they just need to know how to do this one thing, and they don't want to go back through and look at some big long training to find that one thing. So if you can clip it out, you know, to the micro training, so it's just maybe task by task, but also in the beginning, just holding a lot of sessions, you know, to get people on board and trained for the basic necessities that they need on those tools.
Yes, show them and tell them and show them all together.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And the micro learnings are key, especially if you can break it up into small chunks for just specific tasks.
Which is bring me to something that, as you earlier said, maybe the company can have a knowledge base, or maybe a portal inside their company, and they add the needed information, training, whatever, right. So anybody can just go back to it and see it. And also, one of the things that, I don't know how people do it, okay, I do it the book way. I never seen actually someone else do it. But each time you go into a project, you will do a right thing and a wrong thing. And that's normal. That's normal. Now, what you want to do after the project has finished, you want to get these lessons learned, documented, and have it access for other people. So when they go and do their project, they don't fall into the same trap that you already done. But okay, first question, Judy, how we can document this lesson learned after a project?
That's a good question. I mean, back in the day, we used to even have like debriefs where we would document all the lessons learned. And things operate so quickly now that people don't really even do that anymore. So it would be really good to maybe even create a lessons learned, you know, as part of the knowledge base, maybe, I don't know, something like that, where people can go and document that. And, you know, if there's, especially if it's a big project, also you would have a project knowledge base about that project. So anybody who gets on that project can go through and say, oh, look, this is what's happened. You know, this is because so many times people are thrown into a project and it's halfway through, they have no idea what's been done, and they might even redo something that was already thrown out. So it would be great if there was some sort of, you know, documentation online for the project. And even when I worked at SAP, I mean, we didn't even have that. And that was crazy, if, you know, because you'd have to hunt for the history of the project.
Yes, yes. I use emails for these things. Maybe yeah, not the email. Most optimal. It's not the optimal one, okay? But you know what? I want to know everything has happened A to Z.
Email or OneNote. If you use Outlook, OneNote is good to document. I use a tool called Mind Manager that I use on every project, and we'll talk about that probably in a little bit on tools, but that's where I have one per project, and I literally, everything about that project, I just keep adding to it in different categories, so I have it all there. So it's kind of like my own history.
Yes, yes, because like, and this is my second question. People for sure will have some kind of resistance or setback when they gonna write, like, you know what, we want and did 1, 2, 3, and it's not correct. So how the person can like handle these things, the person who will document, and also like if there is a manager and so on, how they can tell their people it's okay to write these mistakes? What do you think, Julie?
That's a great question. I know the last company that I worked for was a German company, and mostly German employees. And I love the German employees and I love Germany. But from my experience, the culture of Germany was very, if this is the way we've always done things, you know, and it was very hard to get that, you know, like steering the ship a different way for them to even want to learn. Not with the younger generation, I will say. They're really great in any culture that I've noticed, but people who had been there for 20 years, they didn't want to change. You know, it took drastic efforts to get them to change. Like people leaving the company and things like that, where they go, oh, I guess we need to change. So, and a lot of it, I think, is just people are afraid of change in general. People are afraid of change. And some people are afraid of new technology because it might shine a light on them that they don't know everything, or that they, you know, it's something new they might not be very good at right now because it's a new technology. But most new technologies, especially in project management, are made to make it easier for anyone to use. And so, you know, I find it really interesting that people are afraid of learning new things when they're making your job easier and more automated and more efficient. So if you can just convince people of that, and I think the best way is to just do demos, do trainings, and if people are really, you know, really resistant, then you can probably do one-on-one training possibly with them, or maybe a small group of the people that are having a really hard time switching, and just, you know, kind of walking them through, it's going to be okay. You know, this isn't the end of the world. You know, change is good.
Yeah, for sure. Change can get you new technology, faster work, better performance, right, better results, and so on. But it can be like a little bit hard to adjust yourself to all these updates and all these things that it changed. And sometimes if it's a drastic change, a totally new software for somebody, they might be like, have a huge resistance to learn and redo these things.
Right.
All right. So now, Judy, what tools the person can use, like not only to see the progress of the project, and its task, but also to help him and his team think about a certain topic or a certain issue that they are facing in the project?
That's a great question. Well, I feel like if people are working in a large company, they're probably using Microsoft Teams. And I'm not a huge fan of Microsoft. And I know the last time I used Microsoft Teams was probably a little over a year ago. And it did try, it worked with Skype for Business, which I'm also not a fan of because we had so many issues with that, constantly going down. And so, you know, if you're in a large company, you might be forced to use a tool like that, which is basically a suite of tools, Microsoft Teams. And it does the job, but, you know, okay. All right. So you want me to, I'll start that answer over. all right. So if you're in a large company, you're probably using Microsoft Teams, and that might be the only tool that you use for project management, and team collaboration. It's basically a suite of tools, but from my experience, we had a lot of problems with it, and it works with Skype for Business, which I didn't like. And so we had a lot of issues with that. And even though like I was with a big company and we used Microsoft Teams, I used my own suite of tools for myself, and my team also used those tools, and we were super successful as a result of it. So, and I use Mind Manager, which I mentioned before, and Mind Manager's been around. I've been using it for 20 years, I think. And it's a brain, it started off as a brainstorming tool. And I believe Microsoft put a lot of money into it as well, because it can export out to Microsoft files. But it is amazing at project management, and it can do, it does the brainstorming, the radial maps, mind maps. It does project management. You can actually do an official project management with it, and it's more visual. You can export that out to, you used to be able to export that out to Project, Microsoft Project, but I don't know if they're still doing that, but you can export it to Excel, Word, PowerPoint. But it's a great tool to use in the beginning when you're starting a project and you might be brainstorming some ideas or taking the agile process or whatever other development process you're doing and tailoring it. And you can easily move things around. It's a fantastic tool to use when you're working with your subject matter experts, because you can change it in real time and move it around really quickly. The first time I used it with subject matter experts, they were completely blown away at how fast we were able to do things. Usually these meetings with subject matter experts took 3 days, and we did it one day. And then they were free for 2 days. And they couldn't get over how efficient it was. So really efficient tool to use throughout the process. Highly recommend it. And then my number one project management tool that I've been using for at least a decade is called Smartsheet. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Smartsheet.com. And I used to say that Smartsheet was like if Microsoft Project and Microsoft Excel got married and had a baby, it was Smartsheet. Because it took the best of Excel and the best of Project and merged it, and it's an online tool, and they keep innovating it and adding different things. So you can do a Gantt chart, you can do a PERT chart, you can do a task list, and I do my own personal task list for myself to keep track of stuff. I also would manage, if I had more than one project, I had all my projects and a dashboard overview. And my boss loved it because she could just go through there and see the status of every project, where it was. It can link out to the different sheets. It's an amazing tool. And I still use it as an entrepreneur to keep myself on task. It's a great tool for entrepreneurs to use to keep themselves, you know, working efficiently. And it's great because you can collaborate with others on it as well. So I highly recommend that tool. And then the other tool, I've used a lot of the newer project management tools. In my last job at SAP, we had to go out and look at all these different project management tools to try to incorporate into our team. And so we went and evaluated about 25 tools. And so I've looked at a lot of the collaborative ones for teams. And the one that we landed on, and I went and looked because I hadn't used it in about a year, and I went, they're still innovating it, so it's great. It's called Active Collab. Have you heard of that tool?
No.
Yeah, so Active Collab, and that's, I think it's C-O-L-L-A-B, if I'm not mistaken. And it is, I want to say it's from Serbia. It's a Serbia development team. And they were really new when we found them about 2 years ago. And they were really willing to work with us. And it is better than like Asana or Trello or Basecamp, which I can't stand. Like all of the kind of the basic tools, that one blew the other ones away. It was so good at, you could do a Gantt chart in it as well. It was great at communicating with your teams and doing document reviews and document revisions. And I just thought it blew me away at how good it was. And it is very inexpensive compared to the other tools. I don't know if it's gone up, but it was great. So those are the three tools that I recommend to keep track of your projects and to manage them. And, you know, Smartsheet you can manage with a team, or you can just manage your own work. And it's great to manage your own work and above, like to your staff, your managers, and your stakeholders. They love Smartsheet because they can just look at the high level views. Whereas your team, I like to do Active Collab. So the development team, so they don't have to, you know, see all the other stuff. So, you know, you're kind of, you know, like up here, and you can manage all three, and the team can just be in the one, like Active Collab. And then your stakeholders can be in Smartsheet with you. And then your mind manager can be just on an ad hoc basis. So.
Oh, yes, great. I think you covered planning plus communication plus brainstorming.
Slack is good, but Active Collab has kind of almost everything Slack has. I mean, it's a really good communication, and it does timesheets and a lot of other things. It's really great tool.
Okay, all right. So hopefully our listeners will be able to use these tools and have fun with them. All right. So Judy, can you please tell me about your business that you have launched recently and what you are aiming to do?
Okay, all right. So my overall business is called the Come Alive Institute. And within that, my new program is called Under Pressure, where I help entrepreneurs handle stress during these trying times. And I'm also starting a podcast called Under Pressure with Jody Hatzell, which will, I believe, launch next week. And where I interview entrepreneurs and talk about what they're dealing with right now and solutions to what's causing them stress. So that will start as well. And so right now I'm actually moving my new website underpressure.tv to a different provider. So it's actually not up and running yet. It should be up and running maybe by the time this launches, I don't know, but it's underpressure.tv. And if that doesn't work, I am offering, my special offer to anyone listening is to offer a free 30-minute one-on-one with me for an assessment of your process and project management. And you can email me at jody@underpressure.tv for that. So Jody, J-O-D-I, @underpressure.tv.
Okay, we will have your links and also your contact email in the description in case anybody would like to contact you. So Judy, if okay. I book the session with you, first thing first, you need to look like you don't know me. Hey, hello, how are you? First time. Okay. Now, okay. If somebody book the session with you, what you will actually walk them through?
Well, I'll do a little bit of assessment of where they are as a person dealing with stress, and then where they are in their business, you know, what's causing stress in their business, and finding out what processes they're using, what kind of tools, project management tools, if they're using any, they might, you know, I want them to walk me through like how they're you know, how they're functioning on a day-to-day basis, how they're doing their work. And then I can give them an assessment of where I think they are and where they need help.
Okay, so sounds good. Like if somebody who's just starting out his business, so on, or maybe have a startup which is maybe currently struggling with the current situation, they maybe need someone to have a look at their life, their work, and so on, so they can like see what can be improved or what can be like taken to the next level. Judy, you told like our listeners that they can, because they access your site via this podcast, they will get a free 30-minute session with you.
Yes.
Okay. Also, do you have like maybe a product or some training that they can take benefit of?
Yes, I have a 3-part free video series, which as soon as I move underpressure.tv, it'll be there. They'll be able to access that there. And then I also have a 6-part video series once they go through that, that's a low-cost product. And that will all be accessed through the website.
So like when they go, like can you tell us a little bit more what they will get for the free product and what they will get for the paid product?
Okay, so my free product is a 3-part video series, and they will identify their entrepreneur type, and that's also their stress type. And then they will understand their triggers and reactions, so what triggers their stress and how they react to it. And just understanding that really helps you to possibly modify it. And then the last thing on that is some basic solutions to help you not get triggered and to not stress during those things and to learn things to keep you from doing that so that you are operating more in a state of flow. So you're not letting the stress get to you.
All right.
And then the low cost product is a 6-part video series. And that's where we'll take a deeper dive into the entrepreneur or stress types. And that's number one. And then we take a deeper dive into identifying your triggers, patterns, and defenses. And it's a little challenging. You have to be willing to really look at yourself on that one. And then the third one is what I call getting the stories out of your head. So it's all the stories that you've pretty much accumulated over your life it falls along with your limiting beliefs and it prevents you from being who you are. And it's one of the things that gets triggered. And then the module 4 is recognizing your limiting beliefs based on your stories. And module 5 is what I call release your stress. So there's a lot of activities that I have to help you actually release the stress out of your body. And then the final module is called Reclaim Your Superpowers. And that's where you identify your zone of genius, figure out how to concentrate there. And that's the part that involves that possibly delegating things to other people. So that's my low-cost product. And then one of my prime offers is what I call Stay in Your Genius. And that's where I go and work one-on-one with somebody or in their organization. And we do a process and tools management, do an assessment and a management to see where they are, to see how we can reduce their stress by helping them with their processes and their tools.
All right. So you do have a good collection of products that will help entrepreneurs out there with their work and so on.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot.
yeah, it will help for sure. It's very stressful to do entrepreneurship and so on.
Very stressful. And people don't realize if they can just tackle the things that are already there, the little day-to-day things that add up. Once you can get a handle on those, the other things that you can't control don't affect you as much.
Yes, I see. So hopefully you can get the site up and running and have these things as soon as possible ready for our listeners.
Well, I blame Squarespace because they won't deal with .TVs. And I did .TVs because I'm going to be doing a podcast, video podcast, and a lot of videos that go to in my program. And when I tried to make it live, it said, sorry, we can't do that. So I will be moving it to WordPress momentarily. So hopefully it'll be live when people are seeing this. So
Yes, for sure. Yeah. For sure. That's why I always recommend stay away from Squarespace.
Well, I don't like it either. I did it because the Business Accelerator, and then I didn't realize it didn't work with those because my regular business site is WordPress. So.
All right. Okay. So, Judy, first, I would like to thank you for coming us and join us on this episode of the show. It was also our pleasure, and you give us a ton of information, and hopefully also my listeners enjoyed having you as well. If you have anything that you would like to add, if you have anything to say.
I don't think so. I'm looking forward to launching my first podcast, which should launch next week. And if anybody wants to be interviewed on a podcast about entrepreneurs, you can contact me at jody@underpressure.tv.
All right. So we're going to leave that also for our listener in case somebody would like to join. So I would like to thank again my guest, Judy Hetzel, for joining us in this episode. And also I would like to thank my listener. And see you next time in the next episode of the Advanced Business Show. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.